Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Great to have you with us as we go right into this second hour of the show. For those of you who are just joining us, we do start at 11 a.m. right here on Money Radio, AM and FM. And then first hour is local events. Second hour is travel. This hour of the show is also syndicated to all of our friends in Arizona. So welcome, everyone out there in Arizona. And we are streaming live around the globe. So you can find us all over. Plus, we are podcast. Again, I am Françoise Rhodes. Joining us in the booth back there is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, we're just cruising right along. We talked about food and all sorts of things going on in the first hour. We did talk about the fires here in California, fires across the country until it gets halfway across, and then it's flooding the rest of the way.
Right.
So if we could sort of get a little of that rain back this way into Arizona, Nevada, California, Oregon, we would be very happy campers. Yes.
Very happy.
And it's putting a lot of, there's a lot of, a little more work you have to do on your trips right now, as in Yosemite and different places that are closed because of fires. Do your homework. I mean, I know it's ruining a lot of trips, but you'd rather be safe than sorry. And speaking of...
The trip would be better ruined at home than it would halfway there.
Exactly. You know? Right. And get to the gates. You know how many people drive up to the... We're driving up to the gates of Yosemite and they're saying...
That's a ruined trip.
Sorry, you can't get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they just... All the plans that they've made, the money they've put down on lodging and everything. So
right.
It's just, it's, and speaking of, we talked about the fires in the first hour. We kind of ended not knowing what the containment is. We got a report, Sean.
We did. Dan Scanny called again,
mm-hmm.
and he said that per the Cal Fire website, about 15 minutes or so ago, mm-hmm. it was last updated, it was at 29%.
And we're talking about the fire up in the mountains near Idlewild and those areas up there.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I think they have different names for these fires. And that's the one that you've been seeing on television. They've been showing these fires everywhere. So, again, thank you to all our firefighters out there. You guys are just doing a tremendous job. And if there's any way you can help them out, please do so and help out all the animals that are displaced as well. All right, this hour of the show is brought to you by Command One Security, helping the Coachella Valley be secure for over 35 years. We had Chef Hector Salvatierra of Bonta Restaurant on the show in the first hour. And this hour of the show, we are going to have Carrie Puckett, who is the preserve manager of Pioneertown Mountains Preserve. And like I said, I didn't know it was up there. Sean, you had no idea it was there. Of course, it's over there by Pioneertown. I don't even know what is up there. I know they have some educational programs and stuff that they have throughout the year. So I contacted them and I said, can someone please call me to have them on the show to talk about it. So that's Carrie will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. Now, we do have some tram passes to give away. We gave away some Living Desert and Zoo Garden tickets in the first hour of the show. This one, I want to give you a heads up, though. The tram has been closed because of the fires, but their website, they're very good, only because of the air quality. Not that the fires were there at the tram, but because of the air quality and just not good for people going up there. So, but go to their website. If you win these tickets, you can go to their website, and they will definitely have updates there on what is going on. As far as KESQ goes, I took a couple weeks off. I went to Bishop. I had a great time in Bishop. We're going to kind of dedicate a travel show to Bishop coming up in the upcoming weeks, but it just really was a lot of fun. Up 395, a fun road to go because you go through all these quirky little towns that have, 100 people, 1,200 people, 5 people. You think, who lives in these places? But people obviously do that want to be, they don't care about living where there's a lot of people.
That'd be me.
Yeah. I stopped in Lone Pine.
Are you checking out some real estate for me?
Yeah, there's a ton of it out there. I was at the Lone Pine Chamber and was talking to a couple ladies in there, and one of the ladies doesn't live in Lone Pine, which is small itself. She lives about 30 minutes away, and she goes to, because they built a, quote, new supermarket in Lone Pine, which they had a new owner, which is more, I guess, what we would think of a grocery store.
Right.
She was all excited, and she said, I said, how long have you been living out here? And she said, about 15 years or so. And I said, where'd you come from? And she said, I think she said San Francisco, if I recall. It was a really big city. She said, I just don't want to live in the city. I want to
be done with the city, yeah.
Yeah, I just like my little small town feel. Seemed happy as could be. They're sitting there laughing the whole time and talking.
Yeah.
I thought, well, good for you. So anyway, up 395 Bishop, the first town that I've seen that has a phone booth that works. Yeah. I went to a community softball game. Really a nice feel about Bishop. There's so much more there for travelers than you can even imagine. And like I say, we'll talk about this in one of the upcoming shows that I'll be doing, one of our travel segments of the show. I put all my notes together, and I did write a travel blog for I'm doing more travel blogs for CoachellaValley.com, and I'm going to get those linked onto the Traveling with Francois website. But I wrote about my trip to Bishop and some of the things I did there, and it's a really great family getaway, too, and affordable. I'm urging Sean to go. Fishing pole in hand, you, Jasmine, and Janet.
There you go.
Yeah, and I did look at some tents, and I don't know, though. I don't know. I think I need an air mattress or something if I'm going to do the tent thing.
I'll definitely need an air mattress.
Yeah. It's I don't remember how we did it as a kid. I know we did tent. We went camping and did tents, but the luxury that these campers have, I mean, all this stuff they have set up around them.
They have all kinds and little contraptions and what they call it, the glamping stuff, and it's crazy.
Yes. They even have tents and have add-ons.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking at that saying, really? Yeah. So you expand your tent to make it. So there's something definitely for everyone out there. So again, and Bishop was a lot of fun. 395, a lot of us take it when we go up north, take it up into Tahoe as well. And Tahoe is packed right now. Of course, that is their season for all the people that go up there for the golf course and the lake and the golf courses and the lakes and all the fun stuff up there in Tahoe. So anyway, if you have been traveling, please don't hesitate to send me photos. I get a lot of photos from listeners. Some I do post on Facebook. I don't post them all because sometimes when I get these photos, you don't want other people to know that you are traveling. So I just don't put them out there. But I enjoy every single one of them. So please feel free to send them my way. And you can easily send everything to FrancoisRoads@gmail.com. It's that simple, and you can look on the website. And don't send them to the contest page, though, please. And thinking as mentioning that on the contest page, we have Pageant of the Masters, Jazz in the Pines tickets. So sign up, because I'll be giving those away, drawing those winners next week. Okay, so I just want to give everybody a heads up on that. And this show, too, we also have our new travel question of the week. We have your answers, and that question was about the hotels that are starting to test facial recognition technology when guests checks in, and I have your answers for that. And all replies are entered to for a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Johnny Costa's Restaurante in Palm Springs. So you have some good answers there. And each week now we have a new question of the week on our Traveling with Francois Facebook page. And there's no just answer, just no charge, no nothing. It's just free answer and you're in it. It's that simple. So, all right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to jump into the travel industry news, see what is going on in the world of travel. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Francois. I am Francois Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today, and welcome to all of our streaming live friends, our radio friends, our podcast friends, all of you. Thanks so much. Love being on the air and love sharing my Sundays with you. Sean does as well. I'm speaking for Sean. Don't you, Sean?
I do.
I know you do. All right. This segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. Use all of their free programs. Please take advantage of them. Give them a call at 760-321-1111. They do such a great job. All right. What is happening in the world of travel? Well, according to the World Tourism Organization, a recent World Tourism Barometer report, international tourism has exceeded what was forecasted for 2018. This includes a growth of 6% in January to April compared to the same time last year. They said this year was going to have the most travel ever recorded, and it's certainly doing that. The surge in international tourism is led by Asia and the Pacific, which experienced an 8% year-over-year increase. Europe followed close behind with a 7% increase. The Caribbean's arrivals fell 9% due to the the continued post-natural disaster efforts because people are still worried about going there and it not being right. However, they say that is slowly changing, that people are regaining their confidence in the Caribbean. So, again, it is busy out there. It is busy. Just in the little town of Bishop, this is how busy it is. They get about 30,000 visitors a day.
Wow.
30,000 people stop for gas or food or to relax or go to the bakery, the famous bakery that's been there since 1907, Schatz. Which that is an interesting story because when I was there, I took some pictures and the granddaughter of the Schatz family actually lives here in the Coachella Valley and is a Facebook friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't even know.
That's funny.
Yeah, isn't that? The world is so small when you put these things out there on social media. So that she's saying, now make sure you go into there and say that, say hello and all that. And yeah, very, very interesting. So, okay, but it is busy. Just, again, it is busy out there. Spirit diverts a flight after flyers fall ill from a dirty sock smell. Yes. Spirit Airlines flight from New York to Fort Lauderdale was diverted to South Carolina because of an noxious smell that at least one passenger likened to dirty socks. They had 228 passengers on this Spirit Airbus, and they put them in Myrtle Beach. They got everybody off the plane. They had the emergency crews go in their hazmat and whatnot. They couldn't find anything.
So it very well could have just been somebody with dirty
it
socks.
It might have been somebody with dirty socks. They could not find a thing. They actually boarded everybody up on another jet, sent them on their way, and they're still looking into it.
And when they went on the second plane, I'm guessing it didn't have the same problem?
No, they didn't.
So that means whoever it was, they knew, and they took care of
they
it
took
in between.
But they say it was, and there are actually a few people that got sick. One lady fainted, and they said, the hazmat, they went through that plane, but they're going to go through it some more, and couldn't figure out what the heck the smell was. So there you go. You never know. Somebody, whew, boy, wouldn't you be embarrassed? You would think, though, that people sitting next to someone with that kind of problem would be able to pinpoint it. But
yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, I know. That is strange. So maybe they will come across something and finally tell us. All right. Facing competitive pressure, American Airlines is going to allow carry-on bag for basic economy, conceding that it was losing out to Delta's less restrictive option, that it's going to be changing its policy. So they're going to allow you to carry on a bag for basic economy, and looks like they're not going to be charging you for it. So maybe the tide's turning on them, charging us for every single thing when we go on flights. So they're losing out to Delta, and in fact, I have a report here on the airlines. Best airline domestic is Delta Airlines, according to the 2018 Travel People Awards recipients. It's called WAVE, and they do all these surveys from all these travel agents and stuff, and they tell you who they find the best. The best airline domestic is Delta Airlines. The best airline international is Emirates, and the best airline vacation brand, Delta Airlines. So American is losing out to Delta, and now they're going to do something about it. The Department of Transportation, flight delays, cancellations, worse in the latest report. Airlines had a rough May with more cancellations, more late flights, and more mishandled bags than the month before. The Transportation Department announced this last week. But we have to say that, remember, we've had so many disruptions with weather. All across the globe, around the world, that you can't always blame the airlines.
That's what I was going to ask. Is that based on weather? Or is that just based on stuff that they did that canceled?
Yeah, this is just based on flight delays, cancellation. This is just an overall across the board. So they just do a flat across because they don't even figure in the variation.
Right.
That's what it is. But they say you do have to account for all the mishandled bags, maybe not so much weather related. But cancellations and flights, I mean, there's just been a ton of problems with weathers across the board. So you kind of expected that to happen. Southwest CEO, their seat assignments a possibility. It says no changes are in the offing, but Gary Kelly said the airline is open to doing seat assignments in the future. So right now, Southwest, they're not doing seat assignments, so there you go. That's not changing. However, Southwest was ranked the best airline for families if you're flying with kids. Now, they didn't have that in the survey that I have in front of me, but that was just released that if you're flying with kids, take them on Southwest because you'll be there with a bunch of other families flying with kids also.
So then on the other side of that is if you don't like flying with kids.
I didn't say that. Sean did. But I thought about it. Yeah, you might not want to go.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what they're trying to push a little bit.
Yeah, right in the middle of the day, you kind of figure there's going to be a lot of families on there.
Right.
Late at night, not so much.
Right, that'd be a good time.
Early morning, probably not so much because it takes families a little bit more time to get everybody together
get
and going.
Yeah.
So you figure those midday flights, excuse me, lots of kids. All right, how safe is it in to travel to Mexico, which has been a hot topic in the news the past few weeks due to a few incidents? As a result, the U.S. State Department has been updating its travel advisory, giving some states within the country a level 4, which indicates do not travel. Although the majority of Mexico is at level 2, it says exercise increased caution. That said, the main tourist destinations are perfectly secure. So if you're doing some travel adventures out in the middle of nowhere, right now might not be the time in Mexico to do those. However, again, the main tourist destinations are fine. Singapore named World's Best Airline in Skytrak Awards. For this year's Skytrak World Airline Awards, Delta, again, was the highest-ranked U.S. carrier at 37th, so Delta was above all the other U.S. airlines, one slot ahead of Alaska. So, and a J.D. Power study shows hotel guests are happier than ever. The guest satisfaction rate increased 8 points from last year to 825 on a scale of 1,000. Ritz-Carlton got a 902 rating, the highest score ever for hotel satisfaction. And you're going to have one of the highest bills ever. But
you'll be satisfied.
You'll be satisfied. So then it's well worth it. Wildfires in Greece. I don't know if you've seen any of this on TV, but that is just as frightening as what we're seeing here. I mean, when you think of Greece, when I think of Greece, I think of the mountainsides covered with the buildings, the white buildings all the way up the sides. You don't think of forests and trees and fires. They've had horrific fires, they say, fueled by 50-mile-per-hour winds that kept changing directions. Many of the people were trapped, hundreds of people trapped on the beaches. They had no escape route. It's just been horrific over there in Greece with the fires. So if you have plans to go to Greece, you better check your hotel and make sure that it's still standing. I'm just being honest with you here because they've had their own problems. And again, we just don't think of old cities like that with not lots of trees and stuff around to be catching fire.
Right.
But they did so. And we talked about Yosemite as well. That is closed as crews battled the blaze. Yosemite was closed for at least 4 days, beginning on Wednesday along a winding mountainous 20-mile stretch of California State Route 41. So again, check if you are going to Yosemite. Check and see what is open, and probably not much, which is sad because it's, like I said, derailed so many travel plans for families and such. This is summer. That's when a lot of people were going. So, but Yosemite, keep it on your watch list if you have plans on going to see when they reopen. Cuba. Interesting. Cuba is slowly falling off. According to a survey by travel industry company Alliance Global Assistance, 13% of respondents said that they were interested in traveling to Cuba. This is compared to the 40% last year. So, interesting.
You think maybe it's just because now they can go?
That's probably part of it. And there's still many restrictions. I hear from people that go to Cuba, that are traveling to Cuba, there are still a lot of restrictions for travelers when they get there.
Oh, okay.
About traveling in groups and on tours and stuff like that.
Right.
So as much as we want to say it's wide open and free,
not quite yet.
Not quite yet. So, and I agree with you too. Now that it's open and you can go, eh? Well, it's on our list.
Yeah, there's the forbiddenness. You're like, oh, I can't go there. I kind of want to go there now.
Yeah. So, and now that people have talked to their friends that have gone, and they think, well, okay, it's on my list, but I don't have to go there right now. Yeah. The New York City Council on Wednesday is expected to pass a bill that would require Airbnb to hand over the names and addresses of everyone in the city who is renting rooms or apartments through the home sharing platform. Yeah, it's not just here in Palm Springs and Scottsdale and all those areas. It is happening across the country. These city councils are finally starting to put their foot down. A lot of it is because they want to make some money off of it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. I think it's about 110%.
Okay.
Of them.
Yeah. They want to get in on the action, but they also want to also have be able to have security control over what's happening and
but
know where these homes are.
That's the problem. I mean, there's not. I mean, I get why people are upset because I get that there's bad seeds, but there's bad seeds for everything.
Oh, I know. But too, it's there are some people that abuse it and they don't handle their guests that stay there
right.
well. And
no,
those
yeah,
need to be
abusers on both sides.
Yeah, they need to be policed. Yeah. If there's a problem, it needs to be taken care of. And New Zealand will soon decide on a proposed tourist tax. Yes, New Zealand is thinking the country could charge visitors between $17 and $24 using funds for tourism infrastructure and conservation efforts. So this will be interesting if New Zealand puts a tourist tax on you entering the country, you know that others are going to follow. So we will see what happens with New Zealand. So interesting stuff going on in our busy world of travel. Okay, I'm going to keep that. There's an ACT meeting this week, Travel Club with a meeting, by the way, on Wednesday at the Best Western that is on 111 in Palm Desert. I'll be over there, and we like to go over some travel news. So a lot of times I will save what we have right here on the show and let them know what's going on. Okay, award recipients, let's talk about, we talked about air, let's talk about rail. The best North American rail vacation provider is the Rocky Mountaineer. All right, the best car rental, there was two categories, and both categories of support and satisfaction, Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Yep, they took both of them, so congrats to Enterprise Rent-A-Car. All right, travel insurance was Alliance Global Assurance. They are the number one. Tourism Board, International Tourism Board, the best travel agent support was by International Tourism Board. And the U.S. Tourism Board providing the best travel agent support. Oh, Hawaii, I'm sorry, Hawaii, and the first one was Jamaica. There you go. We'll be right back, folks. Sorry about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I'm Françoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today. All right. I'm excited about this because I always love to talk about places that I didn't even know were around. And this was one of them. And this is the Pioneertown Mountains Preserve. Joining us is the preserve manager, Carrie Puckett. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Françoise.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself?
Well, I am great. So as I was just saying on the air, I always enjoy talking about places that I didn't even know existed. And I received a press release about a ranger talk that you were having up there. And I saved it and I said, okay, we need to find out more about Pioneertown Mountain Preserves. So I am going to leave that up to you, Carrie, to tell us what is this preserve all about and where is it?
Sure. Well, for a few feel free to jump in with any questions, but
okay.
Pioneertown Mountains Preserve is run by the Wildlands Conservancy, which is the same organization that operates the popular Whitewater Preserve off of I-10, mm-hmm. just west of Palm Springs, and Mission Creek Preserve, as well as 15 preserves throughout the state of California. Pioneertown Mountains Preserve is unique in the sense that it's the largest nonprofit wilderness area in Southern California at over 20,000 acres and 25,000 acres combined for all of our holdings here in the Pioneertown area. And this serves as not only an important linkage between the landscape, but an important linkage of wildlife as well. And this connects Joshua National Park, the Pioneertown area, Bighorn BLM land just north of us here, as well as the, I'm just checking my notes here to hit my talking points. San Bernardino National Forest, which is also encompassing the San Jacinto National Monument now as of 2016.
So when we go to the Pioneertown Mountains Preserve, I know Whitewater has their own entrance. Do you have your own entrance to this preserve?
We do, and it's a little more obscure. So if you're coming into the town of Pioneertown, mm-hmm. I'm sure plenty of people are familiar with the popular Pappy and Harriet's roadside attraction there.
Yep.
We're 3.5 miles past that on Pioneertown Road at the intersection with Pipes Canyon Road. When you get to that intersection, there's a fairly nonchalant dirt road that disappears in the landscape, and you take a left on that heading west. There's signage there calling out the preserve, and we're about 0.9 miles off the pavement. We have a ranger station visitor area as well as trailheads for our hiking trail system here.
Huh. This is fascinating because I know Sean and I were talking about it, that if I didn't know about it, that means so many other people do not know about this preserve. Now, tell us in with us, folks, is Kerry Puckett. He is the preserve manager for Pioneer Town Mountains Preserve, which is up in Pioneer Town, California, which is what? Is that, I think, what, 30 minutes from the Coachella Valley?
I'd put it closer to about 45.
45 minutes, okay. We remember that Paul McCartney was up there singing at Pappy and Harriet's. A lot of fun up there in that area. Now, Kerry, when we talk about the preserve, tell us, what can people do? Is there a picnic area? Is there camping? I know you mentioned trails. How many miles of trails? Why would we go to the preserve?
The biggest draw of the preserve is probably the hiking trail system here. We have two loop trails, one of which departs from the ranger station. And being a loop, it's very convenient in the sense you can come to the ranger station, park, and do a beautiful 6 to 7.5 mile hike, depending on how you want to structure it, and then wind up right back where you started. Our other loop starts closer to Pioneer Town. It's a little more ambiguous in terms of finding it, so we definitely recommend that people come by here and check in with us first, mm-hmm. or hit our website at wildlandsconservancy.org and download a map ahead of time. But it's a beautiful 9.5 mile loop that's a throwback to a historic horse riding trail in the area called the Sawtooth Loop. And this circumnavigates the Sawtooth Mountains to the west of Pioneer Town. And again, being a loop, you can start in Pioneer Town proper on the west end of town, do this whole 9.5 mile hike, and wind up right back at your vehicle at the end of the day.
Wow. Now, do you have camping up there?
We do some overnight camping on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. We're not equipped with regular camping facilities like Whitewater Preserve is. So mm-hmm. typically, these camping groups would be arranged in advance. We've done some stuff with smaller scout troops. We've done stuff with a lot of service organizations, so Outward Bound type groups, collegiate groups that are coming out doing research in the area or possibly on the preserve itself, and people in the area passing through that just had a great hike experience and want to know if they can tent camp overnight, and we're amenable to that. So.
Okay, and what about, I know some of the areas here, we have they have these little oases as you hike back in a little ways with waterfalls and streams and lush palm trees. What kind of foliage and geography there, what landscape are people going to be encountering?
Well, the geography is very similar in a lot of ways to what you see in Joshua Tree National Park. So mm-hmm. we have the same quartz monzonite as the dominant rock type that we have here. And as you head up Pipes Canyon, a lot of folks are really surprised to find that at about a mile and a half, mile and three quarters up the canyon, there's a year-round riparian wetland area. We do have a spring that flows in there, typically about three-quarters of the year. During June, July, August, it tends to kind of go below ground and go dry. But this is not only a huge boon to hikers, but also incredibly important to wildlife in this area.
And what type of wildlife do you have in the area up there?
Well, in this canyon and on the preserve itself, we have everything from black bears, bobcats, mountain lion, to coyotes, gray fox, and even a recent badger sighting, which is incredibly rare. We have seen the occasional desert tortoise on the preserve, more of the transition zone towards the Pioneer Town and out of the mountains.
Wow, I can't wait to go now. I can't wait. So let's talk about weather right now. Of course, we know it is very hot here on the valley floor. You obviously are up in elevation a little bit. What is the elevation of Pioneer Town Mountains Preserve?
Well, it varies depending on where you are on the preserve, but at the ranger station here, we're at a little bit over 4,300 feet. So in terms of daily average temperatures, what that means is we can be anywhere from 8 to 12 degrees cooler than what we're experiencing in the Coachella Valley below us.
Okay. All right. And then let's talk a little bit about the ranger station. I know it's so important to stop there at the station. Is there someone there? What are the hours of operation for the Mountains Preserve for the public?
We typically have a ranger staff on site every day. Mm-hmm. However, that does not mean we have a presence here in the ranger station full time. So okay. With that in mind, we encourage people to knock on the door and come on in and see us. If we're not available, we do have a very hiker-friendly trail system here. It's very well marked and signed. We have a kiosk out in front of the ranger station that's stocked with maps of the trail, with descriptions. It's available at all hours. So people coming in, if they're not able to make contact with the ranger, they can look at a map and they can orient themselves very well and still have a great time. So it's really designed to be a user-friendly experience here.
Okay. And again, with us, folks, is Kerry Puckett. He is the preserve manager of the Pioneertown Mountains Preserve, which is off of Pipes Canyon Road in Pioneertown. I'm just always so thrilled to hear about places like this close to the valley that we can go hiking and look at all the beautiful landscape that we have out here. Now, is there a fee, Kerry, is there a day fee for hikers to use, or how does that work?
You know, that's interesting. We're a nonprofit, and we're based entirely in California, and our big philosophy is that all people should have access to wild spaces and the outdoors in general. So with that in mind, at all of our preserves, you won't find any fee stations or any fees to enter the property. That said, if you had a great time and want to contribute, we certainly appreciate it, and that keeps us going and growing.
Oh, that's really nice. And so, and I imagine, too, you encourage everybody going up to the preserve to bring water and snacks and things like that, because I doubt, I could be wrong, but I don't think you have machines, or do you have vending machines?
We don't, so it's going to be typical trailhead kind of hiking protocol as far as bring plenty of water, sunblock, make sure you've got a map in hand, and if you can, do some research ahead of time. There's some great write-ups online about these hikes here. And definitely being in the desert, water is absolutely critical. I would recommend at least 2, if not 3 liters of water to come out and do these hikes.
All right. And Kerry, again, I wanted to talk about the terrain for the hikers. Now, if it's, let's say a family just wants to come up and spend a couple hours up there, is there an area where there's picnic benches and whatnot where they don't have to do a lot of hiking, but they can just sit and take in their surroundings?
Sure. We've got a covered Ramada-shaped structure here in front of the ranger station area with 3 picnic tables underneath it. So that's a great spot to cool off and have a snack. And as far as for families that want to do something a little bit more on the mild, especially kid-friendly end of the spectrum, I would always steer people towards Pipes Canyon and let them walk up canyon as far as they'd like and then turn around and just treat it as an out and back. Most people usually try to do that with the wetland area in mind, which would make for a nice 3.5 mile round-trip hike. Pretty minimal elevation gain. It's following the contours of the desert wash. And again, that gets you to the wetland area, which is a natural oasis with willows, water flowing, and it's notably cooler.
All right. Well, I can't wait. So now the wetlands, though, you did say the water goes underground. Is the water underground at this point, or do you still have the wetlands area?
We may have a couple of kind of puddle soaks going at this point, but most of it is going underground.
Underground. Okay. So the best time to come is probably starting back in September, you think, if we want to get the real wetlands feel up there?
Yeah, I think our typical hiking season, I like to think of this kind of Labor Day weekend until Memorial Day weekend is kind of prime season.
Okay.
As far as when conditions are wettest, you know, we are in a large watershed here. We do get the occasional flash flood, and what this means is we also have a very high water table, hence the reason we're able to have a wetland area and some natural springs in the canyon. But most of our wet conditions are going to exist during winter and especially post-winter as we get into that seasonal snowmelt runoff that's fueling and recharging these springs that we have.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go up there. Kerry, thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to have you back on periodically and keep us posted on what's going up there at Pioneertown Mountain Preserves. Thanks again, and I look forward to meeting you up there, and some of my fans and listeners will be up there that way as well.
You're very welcome. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, folks, well, you heard it here, Pioneertown Mountains Preserve. Did you know about it? I didn't. All right, on that note, we do have a phone number for the office, which is 760-369-7105. And their website is Pioneertown Mountains with an S Preserve at twc-ca.org. And I will have this on the website. Okay, we'll be right back with some more travel news. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise as we wind down this second hour of the show. I do have passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. If you'd like a chance to win those, give us a call. It is passes for two. It's about a $50 value. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. It is 30 degrees cooler up there when you can go up there. I'm sure they'll open as quickly as possible. But call us and I will mail those out to you. 760-440-8255. All right. The new question of the week was, a few international hotels are starting to test facial recognition technology when guests check in. Does this bother you and will you do it? All right. Thomas Ravens Lamb said, I would do it. I have nothing to hide. It would be easier than keeping track of my hotel key card. Okay, that's a good thought. Angela Romeo said, I have nothing to hide, but the shades of Big Brother are too dark to ignore. Clear card uses retina scan. I reluctantly agree, but it does bother me. All right. Well, I hear you on that one, Angela, but it's going to be, you watch, it is going to be the way of the world. Jackie Janice Murphy says, I wouldn't mind, but I think I'd also like a card key as a backup, just in case the facial recognition malfunctions, as you know it will, just like the key cards. Yeah, I've been locked out a few times. Now, sometimes it's when it's iffy if I'm spending another night or not, and they have them programmed for just maybe two nights, and then I go out somewhere on the third day, and the front desk forgot to reprogram my key card. And then I go to the room, and then I'm locked out. And, you know, it's always when you're tired and sweaty, and you're going, oh, my gosh, really? All right, Gary Schwartz says, I have no problem with facial recognition. Will it work during a power outage? Yes. Give me a key just in case. Everybody wants a key. All right. I think we have a winner, though. Sean, who do we have?
You did. You had. He's not on the phone now, but you had Lewis in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations.
I said, can I put you on with Francois? And he said, okay, thank you, bye.
So, okay.
I guess that was a no.
Well, now the phone's ringing, so. Okay, Lewis, well, congratulations. Is that light buzzing? I think it is over there. So it was buzzing.
It is still,
Okay, all right. Well, we have a winner. So, all right, you guys. Anyway, okay, so, well, congratulations, Lewis. All right, Mary Wabel said, I would be okay with it, but would small changes as makeup, tan, surgery change how it recognizes me? That is so true. If it's facial recognition, but I don't think your retina can change.
No, they do. I mean, if they do the same thing that they do with phones.
Yeah.
I mean, or my computer. My computer, I use my face to open my computer. And,
do you?
Yeah. I mean, there's little stuff. Like, I think even when I'm wearing my sunglasses, like, I think it will still turn on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know my, what does my Facebook page do? I just push my picture and it opens. I don't know what it's doing. So, anyway. But, yeah, I do laugh out. But if not so much the tan and the makeup, but surgery. Someone gets surgery.
Yeah.
But if it's a retina, it's not going to change your retina.
I think most people, though, get surgery that's. I mean, I guess not most people. Some people look totally different. But for the most part, they look close to the same.
Close
so I
to
think
the
it
same.
Would still. And yeah. Are they doing that while they're in a hotel?
What?
They could be, I guess. They could be staying at getting some major surgery done.
I don't know. All right. Gina Edwards says, why? Why, Gina? I don't know. Because that's technology. That's why. So you're going to have to use it. Susan Brown Rosenberg says, just give me a key, please. And Betsy McKay Krieger says, too much artificial intelligence for me. All right, Betsy, I hear you on that one. But again, it is the way of the world, so we're not going to be able to escape it. And you know what, too? It's certainly going to cut down on these people that are posing as you and using your credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And finding out that it's not you. Speaking of, I was hacked one more time. One more time, someone had a card sent to in my name to Oklahoma. I don't know what they have out for me in Oklahoma, but anyway, the card companies, they were real savvy, jumped on it right away and said, we pretty much knew that wasn't you. So, okay, thanks so much. Okay, as far as trips and stuff coming up, we're still working on our day trip to Carlsbad. ACT has been in the process of moving, and that's been really kind of the hold up on this. They have moved to a new office in Palm Springs on Sunrise and Ramon, if I am right. I was looking for the flyer in here. I have it somewhere. Anyway, starting August 1st, there we go. They are at the Plaza at Sunrise Executive Suites. It's 555 South Sunrise Way. So they've been in the process of moving, which I knew was a major job because they have been in that same office in Palm Springs for a long time. So to move to a new one, we know how it is when you move after you've been somewhere for a long time. There's a lot of stuff to go through. And a lot of stuff to figure out. So that has been kind of the holdup on that. However, they do have their Travel Club of the Desert meeting this Wednesday. It's always the first Wednesday of the month. They're going to talk about Israel and Spain trips that they have planned that are coming up, customized trips. They're going to talk about their new move. Their new ACT brochure will be out. So lots of things going in. It's from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Palm Desert Resort here. I guess did they change the name of the... it's not the Best Western is now the Palm Desert Resort, right there on Highway 111. I guess so. And it is across from, what is it, the Embassy Suites or something. Anyway, right down, you see John's Restaurant. It's that hotel that's right past it. So over in there, you will see it. The Palm Desert Resort now is what it's called. Okay, August 1st from 1 to 3. So check it out. It is free, and they always have goodies and tea and cookies and all sorts of stuff. They also have a trip coming up that is in December, and that is to the French Polynesia. And that will be... happening. What are the dates on this? Oh, actually, it's January 21st through 31st in 2019. It is 10 days and it looks fantastic. $2,900. Oh, wow. Looks incredible. I think I want to go. I think I want to go on all these trips. All right. Whale watching. Even though the whales should have been migrated back and forth by now to wherever they're going, because we're right in the middle of the summer, there's still a lot of dolphins out there. They are still seeing whales here and there. So the only place to go is, of course, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching. Check it out. They do such a good job. DanaWharf.com. They always send videos. I send the videos and put them on the Facebook page, Traveling with Francoise, because... it's fun to see. It's fun to see the baby dolphins out there, the porpoises.
Oh yeah,
they're so, these little tiny things are so cute.
They're just having a good time, huh?
What a life! They just swim around and play all day long. I don't know. It seems like the thing to do, but they really are cute, and they always tend to, because the dolphins like to hook up with boats and stuff that are moving along pretty good and swim along the bow on either side and
right.
kind of jump around and give a show. They do like to do that. So they, the captains of the boats out there at Dana Wharf, they certainly know where the dolphin pods are. They can find them quite a ways out, and they will zoom on over there and at least give you a good dolphin show. And they have that money-back guarantee, too. If you don't see any mammal, any animal activity out there in the water, you get a voucher for a free trip. So... you know what? You're going to see something. Borrego Springs Resort and Spa, they are going to be gearing up already for the new season, but they are open, and they have the spa, and they have the restaurant out there in Borrego Springs. It is about 90 minutes away, and yes, they have the same warm weather that we do here in the Coachella Valley. However, still, they get a lot of international tourists that go out to Borrego Springs during the summer, a lot of German tourists who want to experience this desert heat. I mean, people don't believe that it gets that hot here. They just see it on a map and they don't believe it.
They want to see it for, feel it for themselves.
Yeah, they want to see how we do it, and we just manage to do it because we know how to live in it and work around it. So that's what we do. On the flip side, though, when I look at all the flooding back east, which is very, very scary in its own right, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine just walking out your front door and the water... is in your living room or walking downstairs and your living room is flooded with water that the day before it was a dry street?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And we have those flash floods here, so be careful. We have had some warnings. I noticed the weather this morning actually put out flash flood warning. And then we're also getting air quality warnings because of all the fires out there. So be safe out there. Don't, you know, we tend to, when we travel, say, oh, it's not going to happen to us. But, you know, once in a while... it can happen to us. So just be careful and use your common sense. All right, next week, what are we doing? We'll be back here in the station. And what are we doing next week? I think we have Coachella Valley Craig. That's probably what I'm going to start calling him from now on in the first hour. He loves being on the radio. He has so much fun on this show. Because he's always behind the computer screen.
It was fun, though. We had fun.
This is a chance for him to actually speak instead of always be at a keyboard. And then in the second hour, we have Vincent Battaglia from Renova Energy. But he's not going to be on to talk about Renova Energy. He finally has worked so hard, so many years, to make this business a huge success and bring solar to the Coachella Valley and to a lot of places. He even goes to Washington. He goes all over. He actually finally has been taking a few big-time international vacations.
For fun.
For fun.
There you go.
And I've seen pictures of him diving and all this stuff. And I'm saying, Vince, okay, you have to come on and talk about it. So he is going to come on and tell us some of the places he went. And I do think that some of it has to do with family in different parts of the world. So that's going to be a lot of fun to have him on and not work. So everybody, you stay nice and cool and safe out there. Use your common sense. Find those million-dollar parking spots we have in the shade. Enjoy your week. We'll be back here next week. Thanks, Sean. Thanks to our guests. Congratulations to our winner. And as always, remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.